evening.
You have your Bibles, and we'll be turning to Psalms chapter 107. Psalms 107. It's on page 504. Last week, we went over to Parkersburg and, well, we helped a couple of families that their homes had been destroyed by the tornadoes. And as we drove through the destruction trying to find these homes, I was totally lost, but Brother Jerry, well, he gave good direction, so we got there, and boy, I mean, it was just nothing but destruction. And I remember the fellow that we helped, his name was Chad, and as we talked to him a little bit, he was sure thankful that we were there. But you could see the frustration and the hurt in his face as he talked to us. And I thought about the troubles that happen to us in this life. And during the week this week, I found out my grandfather's in the hospital. And my grandmother's sister just got taken to the hospital out in Colorado, not expected to make it. So Grandma, she's facing some troubles. We got here this morning, and I walked downstairs, and I heard something splashing around my feet, and I thought, oh, more trouble. Do you know these type of things?
Amen.
You know, as I look around this audience, most all of you are in my prayers in some way or the other. My prayers take a long time. Because, you know, each and every one of you individually, you have struggles in your lives. Some of you have struggles with your relationships, with your children, or with your spouse, or with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Some of you have situations going on at home that present difficulty and trouble along the way. Some of you have health problems. Some of you have aging problems. Some of you have immature, haven't grown up problems. And some of you are in between, like me. It just kind of dawned on me that we have a lot of things that happen in our life that are very troubling. We wake up almost every day and there's something going on. You know, it might be that some of you don't have a job and you're looking for a job. We've been praying a lot on that. Might be that some of you have a job, but you don't like that job. There's all these problems. It might be that some of you have a job and your employer's giving you fits. Lots of different things. I think about Jay. Jay has been working 100 hours a week lately. That's just my estimation. They're working him a whole lot. That's kind of troubling to some degree. Jay coming here Wednesday night had toothpicks under his eyes. We got different troubles that happen in our lives, don't we? Well, life, I believe, is kind of like one of those cakes that my mom used to make. Life has a whole lot of different ingredients in it. And one of the ingredients that helps make up life is a dash of trouble. You see, facing adversity helps us grow. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And sometimes, my friends, God allows adversity to happen for our growth. But it is imperative to remember that God also specializes in helping us grow grateful. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for that. Because when I'm in trouble, I just need help. When I get frustrated, I can't seem to think straight. Are you like that? Troubles seem to get a little bit bigger than they really are. Does anybody ever go through that? Well, God is there for us in our troubles. And today we're going to listen to the psalmist talk to us about his view of how God helps us in troubles. I want to talk to you just for a moment about how Psalms is written. Psalms is a book composed of different writers, and I'm not sure who the psalmist is, here in chapter 107. The Psalms are basically prayer poetry to God. Does that make sense? If you're in the first 40 or so Psalms, most of them are Psalms of David. And you know, David will write what he thinks about God. He will write psalms that will praise God from a standpoint of what he knows. So you'll get in Psalms chapter 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Why? David is describing God. He's praising God from his viewpoint, from his understanding of who God is. This psalm here, Psalm 107, is a wonderful psalm, and it talks about the way God helps us in our troubles. Now, I don't know about you, but I got trouble sometimes, so I want to read some of this to you. Starting verse 1, Psalms 107, 1 through 3. "The Lord delivers men from manifold troubles. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." The psalmist here, I think of him taking a paintbrush of words and making this beautiful stroke of the brush where he paints our God as a deliverer. Have we ever seen God as a deliverer in the Old Covenant? Many times. God is constantly watching out for us and rescuing us. That is our God. And it says that we should thank him for his loving kindness. Loving kindness here is an interesting word, and it has to do with mercy. And when you understand mercy, in short, you'd understand that God is saying that he's not given us what we deserve. And when you think about what you deserve in relationship to what God gives you, we see in fact that God is a loving God. He pours his love out on us all the time because you know what? If God gave me what I deserved, I wouldn't be able to stand here before all of you Christians this evening and preach. He would have condemned me a long time ago. But he didn't do that. His mercy has no end. Then the psalmist mentions the idea of redemption. And if we define redemption, especially from a New Testament standpoint, we understand that redemption is to buy back or to purchase someone out of slavery. We get the idea. But I want you to hone in a little bit further on what the psalmist is saying. I think part of what the psalmist is saying in regard to God rescuing us from troubles is the fact that our God intervenes in our lives. Have you ever had God step up in your life and make some things clear to you that you didn't quite understand before? I've had him do that he not have? Ward said God ran over him with a car to give him extra time to read the Bible. You understand the way God talks to us, the way God communicates with us, the way he touches our hearts. And my idea in redemption is to understand that a slave cannot help himself. When you become a slave, you cannot purchase your way out of slavery. Because how do you make money? All your money goes to the master, right? Redemption is when someone steps in and helps someone that cannot help themselves. You know what? Troubles presents itself that way to us in life sometimes. But our God is a God that delivers us from troubles. This is the way the psalmist is looking at the Father. Now, what would the psalmist say if God didn't deliver the psalmist? Does God always deliver his people from trouble? Not always. Sometimes he allows trouble, doesn't he? But the psalmist is sitting here and he says, you know what? I'm looking at God and I'm going to say this. Even if my troubles overcome me to the point of death and I follow God, my troubles are nothing. I'm still delivered. And I think to myself, what if I had that viewpoint, if I trusted God in that way, how much deeper of a relationship could I have with him? Verses 4 through 9 go on to say that God delivered Israel when they were hopelessly lost and they could not take care of themselves. Let's read verses 4 through 9. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and his wonders to the sons of men, for he has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Israel, after they had come out of Egypt and God had made them into a nation of his people at Mount Sinai, he took them up to the edge of the promised land at Kadesh Barnea, and he told them, go in and enter my promise. Remember what they did? They sent out spies to see if that was really what they ought to do. And the spies come back, and most of the spies, except Joshua and Caleb, said, oh man, there are big people there. We can't go in and do anything with that business. And you remember, they decided not to go in. And for that, God delivered them into some trouble. He made them wander around in circles out in the desert for 40 years. So in this instance, God didn't deliver them from trouble. God delivered them to trouble, right? It says that they hungered. Well, as I think about it, I remember the fact that they got out in the desert and they were hungry and thirsty. They became discouraged, the text tells us. And they cried out to God to deliver them. You know, that's what we do sometimes when we get in trouble. After we've tried every way to solve our problem from our own way, then we cry out to God. And that's what Israel did. They cried out to God and God gave them direction. He gave them food and he gave them water. And the psalmist says this. The psalmist says, therefore, let us give him thanks, for his loving kindness. God provided. I think about through the years different people that I know that have been out of work. Money has become an issue at some point, and they've been concerned about being able to take care of their families. And maybe people that have a job, but they have overwhelming insurance bills over some catastrophe. They just don't seem to think that they can handle. God is there for them. Oh, God is there for us too. The next thing is, God delivered Israel when it seemed all but impossible. Underscore that word, impossible. Verses 10 through 16. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their hearts with labor. They stumbled and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has shattered the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in asunder. Israel, time and time again, had refused to listen to the prophets that God sent to them. Not only did they refuse to listen to God's prophet, but God will go on in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 6 and say that they had committed adultery under every hill under heaven. He called them the harlots, spiritual harlots, because they had turned against God. They had rejected his counsel. And as a result of that, they ended up in Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar had worked them over there as prisoners. He had chained them up and they were in bondage. He humbled them with labor and there was no one there to help. So they cried out to the Lord and he delivered them from slavery. Does anybody know how long Israel was in Babylon? 70 years. Sometimes God doesn't deliver on my time frame. When I pray for something, I'm specific. Lord, I need this by next Tuesday at 2 o'clock. And sometimes God takes 70 years. I get the idea that he wants me to own up to his time schedule. I think about Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says that God can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. The impossible. Is that our God? How many times in the scripture does God wait patiently until the circumstance becomes totally impossible before he acts? Hey, Gideon, you got what? What did he start out with? 32,000? Something like that? Okay, check my math. I don't remember. Started out with a bunch of people, and he says, tells Gideon, you got too many. You just got too many. Now, you got 30,000, 32,000. You're going up against these folks over here that got 150, 160,000. You got too many. You need to weed that down a little bit. Well, you know the weeding process happened and happened and happened until what? There was 300 and something people. Then God says, yeah, that'll do. Time and time again, his plan happens through a barren woman who has not been able to conceive. God works with impossibilities. Church, when you see something in your life that seems to be impossible, it seems to me like we ought to get excited about God the southern. He's going to do something. You with me? God works through impossible situations, and He can work through your situation too, whatever that might be. I get excited about that. I'm sorry, I labored that point a little bit. Point number four. God delivered Israel from sickness, particularly that was brought on by sin. Verse 17 through 22. Fools, because of their rebellious ways and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. He sent His word, and He healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifice of thanksgiving and tell of His works with joyful singing. Oh man, this psalmist is really preaching a good sermon. I'm liking listening to what he's saying because I just listen to this and it excites my soul. These people, particularly Israel, were fools because of their rebellious ways. They had rebelled and rebelled and rebelled against God. They were stiff-necked, stubborn, calloused, etc., etc., etc. But here, because of their sin, they were afflicted. They had become sick because of their sin. Even the text says, to the point of death. But they cried out to God, and God healed them. Now, is this what happened? Did God send them a doctor with a PhD to heal them? With a first aid kit, the guy comes on the scene and whips out the antibiotic ointment. You know all those little Patera packages, you know, where you squeeze that? Is that how He healed them? Did He send somebody to care for them and bandage them up? How does the text say, how did God heal them? What was the agency of healing? His word. The healing that God refers to is the healing of the Spirit. Our bodies don't work the way they ought to, do they? How many of you got something that don't quite work right? I'm losing hair. I don't know what's wrong with those hair follicles. They really ought to work, but they don't. But I'll tell you some hair follicles to do. They're coming out of my ears. I can't grow it on my head, but it's coming out of my ears like bushes. And I can't walk as quite as good as I used to. And I think about, I've been praying for Phyllis. Phyllis has problems with her arm. I look around and I pray for a lot of different ones of you who have some physical problems. The delivery really that God's concerned about is your spirit. Your spiritual self. Maybe it might be that you may never be delivered from your physical hurts of your body in this lifetime. But I guarantee you something. When you close your eyes for the last time here upon this earth, you will be delivered from those physical things that hurt. Think about my father. I think about the struggles that he had with cancer. And when he closed his eyes for the last time, God delivered him. God will deliver you too. And I would ask that you think about the healing that can come from His Word. The words of the psalmist here help. They're like a salve of healing to my heart, knowing that God is there for me, watching over. And in response to that, the psalmist says, hey, give some thanksgiving to God. But he takes it a step further and he said, make sacrifices of thanksgiving. And do that with joyful singing. What's a sacrifice? Isn't a sacrifice when you give up something for something else? Isn't that what a sacrifice is? God says to be thankful in a sacrificial way. And do it with joyful singing. I was listening to Travis sing. Oh, it'd be nice if I had a voice that good. But Travis has a good voice, so he gets up here and he leads us in psalms and we sing to the Lord. With joyful hearts, I hope. Because God has already delivered us to the gospel, you see. And what a blessing that is. Point number five. God delivered Israel in the storms of life. Verse 23 through 32. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens, they went down to the depths. Their souls melted away in misery. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And He brought them out of their distress, and He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So He guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him at the seat of the elders. Some of God's people here worked out on the sea. How many of you have been out on the ocean? How many of you like being out on the ocean? Oh, we got a few. Psalmist says that out on the ocean they had seen the wonders of God. Now when I was out on the ocean, one time we was taking a little cruise and I saw some dolphins running out there in front of a boat or something. I just thought that was awesome. You know, some people, they go out on ships out in the ocean and they see the most beautiful sunsets I've ever seen because they put this stuff on TV. I watch the Nature Channel. I can get on a boat without getting on a boat, you know what I'm saying? And then you've got these whales that are just absolutely awesome. And then, how many of you watch these Alaskan fishermen? You've been watching that on TV, the crab fishermen, how dangerous that is. Man, the waves get to be up here and down here and up here, and they're just kind of on that ship acting like nothing's really bothering them, and I'm thinking, whoo, it wouldn't work for me. I'd get sick. I'd get scared. But here the psalmist says that he had seen the wonders of God. These people had seen the wonders of God out on the sea. But while they worked for God, or while they worked out on the sea, the text says that God caused a storm to happen. Now wait a minute. I thought being a Christian, God was supposed to calm the storm in front of my walk. Isn't that right? But here, what God did, God caused the storm. How many of you have been out on the water during a storm? Am I the only one? Two, three? Man, you talk about scary. It's a matter of life and death. God caused the storm to happen. doesn't say that he caused it to happen because of their sin. Doesn't say, maybe he did. But the storm could have simply been a faith builder, right? Do we have a New Testament example of this? Coincidentally, I was going to preach the New Testament story, and I went and read this text, and then I give it up and I move to this text. We see Jesus with his disciples, right? Out on the sea, and up comes this crazy storm. And they get scared, don't they? They get panicky. They wake up, Jesus. The song says, carest thou not that we perish? I can't sing the quote. Do you not care that we're dying here? And Jesus gets up, and what does he do? Just what this text says. God quieted. It says here that God hushed the waves. Oh, I love to hear the waves crashing in on the shore, don't you? You ever go listen to the, anytime you're at the ocean, then you wait a few minutes, isn't that just cool to listen? God hushed the waves. The crashing of the waves stopped when they cried out to him. Then God guided their way. God guided their way to their desired haven. And they praised him for it. Last point. God's delivery, as we've said before, can be from trouble or to trouble, depending on what we need. Verse 34 and 33 and 34. He changes rivers into a wilderness and springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. In other words, for those people who live in unrighteousness, he sends trouble and calamity on them as a wake-up call, because he doesn't want any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Have you ever received a wake-up call from the Lord? Some of us have. Verse 35 through 39 says, he changes a wilderness into a pool of water and a dry land into springs of water. And there he makes the hungry to dwell so that they may establish an inhabited city, and so fills and plant vineyards and gather a fruitful harvest. Also he blesses them and they multiply greatly. And he does not let their cattle decrease when they are diminished and bow down through oppression, misery, and sorrow. For those who seek God with all of their hearts, to those who would humble themselves and bow down before the everlasting God, he sends refreshment upon them. But in a comparison of thought, the psalmist ends up in this way. Verse 40 and 41 says that he pours contempt upon princes, and he makes them wander in a pathless waste. But he sets the needy securely on high away from affliction, and makes his family like a flock. God's contempt is poured out on princes. Princes, when you think about Israel, were those in the leadership. And in context here specifically, it is those who have not turned to God for help. But those who turn to God for help, says that he makes them into his family. How many of you really, you know, I'm not going to ask that question, maybe some of you don't. I think family's great. I love my family. Now, my family's got some good things and some bad things and all that business like any other family, but I love them the same. I think a lot of family. And you guys are my church family. And I think a lot about y'all too, and it's the same way. Some of y'all got some good things going on, some of y'all not some good. But it's kind of that thing that's going. We love each other. Families, but think about this. What if God would include you and I in His family? That's pretty awesome. And to those of us who turn our heart to God, God includes us in His family. Verse 42 says, "The upright see it and they are glad. But all unrighteousness shuts its mouth. The upright are glad at the sight of God directing their lives, while the unrighteous sinner is left speechless." Let me conclude here as the psalmist does in verse 43. The psalmist says, interestingly, at the end of this, "Who is wise?" he says. "Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord." There is a part of wisdom that must consider the loving kindness or the mercy of God. Sometimes I get so busy doing all these little things over here that I forget to stop and think about God and who He is. And that's a good thing about the Psalms, because the Psalms are a reflection of who God is and a praise. I want to mention this because I think it fits in so well. I look around this room and there's a whole lot of people here tonight that have trouble, because I know each of you individually. God tells Job 40 and verse 6, it says that God answered Job out of the storm. Sometimes you see God is in the trouble, and He's there and He's just waiting for you to turn to Him. Waiting for you to surrender yourself to Him and just say, "God, I trust you. I don't see how it's going to work." Anybody ever there? "Man, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't see any way that it's going to work. But I just surrender myself to you, Father." Oh, God likes that. When the odds get really tough, that's when God works the best. The question for the invitation is simply this. When God speaks to us, do we listen? I don't know about you. Sometimes I got other things going on. A ball game, some family event, something I'm doing work-wise or something. Sometimes I get so busy sometimes that I fail to listen to God. Well, we listen to God through His Word, right? We also listen to God as He touches our heart to move in regard to His Word. Have you been listening? That's the question. And if you need to make a change in your life, tonight would be the time to do it. If there's something we can help you with in any way, would you come as we stand and sing?